Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Renewable Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's our republic if we can keep it. And we can keep it by going to republicbroadcasting.org and sending a donation. There's a way of doing it, and well, you can do it on the website, or I'm going to ask my guest, Richard Carey, what's the number people can call?
Oh, yes. If they want to call in to donate, that would be...
Because you always give the number, and I don't, and I should.
Yeah, no, if they want to call for credit or debit card, I do have that right here. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
That's good. You can do that. Also, you can go to nationalbugle.com. One thing you'll find there is a lot of video clips that Richard and I are going to be talking about today. So you can find them, and you can also find the link to the Kosher-tified app, which is everything you want to be, because you want to be non-kosher certified. Okay, well, Richard Carey, this is, I guess this is the first time I've had you as a guest on my show, but you've had me as a guest on my show. So, but thank you very much for that. That was on the 6th of January, that big day, and you were in our studio holding down the fort, and I was our roving correspondent. And a very memorable day, don't you think?
Yes, yes, it was. I mean, everyone was on the edge of their seat as to how things were going to play out, but certainly we didn't anticipate just how much the media would take hold of it beginning the next day to the extent they have.
Yeah, and, you know, I remember, so you were asking me questions about what was going on, and I was telling you what I saw, and I could see what was around me. And then, of course, when I wasn't on air, I could go up and talk to people around me, and we did. I was with Jason No White Guilt, and we walked around, and we talked to people, had some interesting conversations. But do you remember, I was also asking you what was going on, because you in the studio actually had better access to real-time information about what was going on in and around the Capitol, with the exception of my immediate surroundings, which I could see. And, you know, that's one of the things. When you're actually there, you see what you see. But it's not until later that you find out what goes on elsewhere. And I didn't know when the Capitol had been breached, so to speak. Or how. I could only see what was around me, and I didn't know anything about, I'm not sure when I found out the Ashley Babbitt, when she was shot or reported to be shot. And so a lot of times you find out things later, and especially if you're there, you sometimes find out things later. But you've been following this very closely. You sent me a lot of clips. And so there are some big issues. You know, one issue is whether, you know, to what extent was this a false flag? To what extent were forces aligned against Donald Trump, Antifa, deep state, to what extent were they acting as agent provocateurs? To what extent were either pro-Trump or, you know, third party, like militia groups involved? To what extent were genuine MAGA people responsible for the breach or the charging of the Capitol? Or I call it the Occupy Congress event. But so in these past 11 days... according to your research, what are you finding out?
Well, there does seem to be a strong false flag component, but it seems like it's more than just one group of people. And then also, I wouldn't say that there weren't genuine Trump supporters who got talked into going into the Capitol in the excitement of everything, not really knowing what they were going to do, but just caught up in the excitement. There's no reason for us to try to claim that, oh, everyone with a Trump hat inside the Capitol is an agent provocateur or something. That would be silly and pointless. But, I mean, it seems that, well, there was advertising from a Black Lives Matter opponent, a black group that was like pro-Republican.
Mm.
And evidently, well, I mean, because there were some flyers advertising it as something for these people to attend. And it's not really, well, it's not really being anti-Trump. But then there were also some that were, I mean, actually, that John Sullivan, this BLM / Insurgents USA founder, his brother is allegedly a pro-Trump black man. But then some sources claim that behind the scenes that's just a front, and so, you know, it's just to try to get people to the site. And it's clear that it's asymmetrical warfare, basically. Mm-hmm. And there are also Antifa. We have this one guy photoed from Philadelphia Antifa, Philly Antifa, and there's no name I've found anywhere for him, but he and a friend of his were on the PhillyAntifa.org website, pictured together, and they're also in that well-known photo op at the Capitol with the horned shaman and a few others, included this bearded gentleman with the long brown beard and long brown hair. And he looks very leftist, honestly, and kind of communist, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But he and another gentleman standing next to him with like short black curly hair and glasses are from Philadelphia Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
We at least have multiple BLM, one part of this Insurgents USA group, and then the Antifa element, and then people like this Caucasian gentleman, this white guy, paid Capitol Hill troublemaker, confesses. Mm-hmm. You posted that on National Bugle.
Yeah, it's hard to know what to make of it.
Yeah, he seems separate as well, like a different component from the others. Then you have the shaman, the QAnon shaman, and he goes, well, he has an acting name, Jake Angeli. We have screenshots of,
I guess that's his stage name.
Yeah, we have on back. On the website Backstage, he's advertising his acting profile, but then we have his real name as well, Jacob Anthony Chansley.
So, and you know, you wonder about some of these people who went in and live streamed themselves, and you know, are they just trying to get publicity? And of course, there's always a lot of publicity seekers, people who have very personal agendas, their own agenda, which isn't necessarily political. You know, when we were doing my show, which was between 2 and 3, obviously Eastern time. And we were starting to get reports about the Capitol being breached. And I guess you must have told me. I wouldn't have been in a position to tell you, I don't think, unless somebody had texted it to me. I remember you and the guest in that you had, the Scottish name,
Graham. Yeah, Graham.
Why can't I remember that? You and Graham were expressing a lot more alarm than I was, you know, and in retrospect, rightly so. Now, I had gone there, and my whole focus that day was on this Hail Mary pass of delaying the certification of the electoral votes through objecting to electoral votes and the debates and this and that, to delay it long enough for, you know, Wisconsin legislature the next day to come into session and decertify and this and that. And by the time our showtime rolled around, actually, which is two, and actually it's probably about 1:40 where I'd really gotten word that Mike Pence was obviously not on board. Maybe it was a little earlier. You know, one thing about having been there, about being there, there were so many people in one space that if you were in a crowded area, you got no cell phone reception because the circuits were overloaded with so many people live streaming and everything. So we were often in kind of information dead zones. But, you know, you were more alarmed. And my response was a little bit more, well, the whole objection thing looked like it had fallen through. And at least, you know, by people going in and disrupting things, maybe we get another day that way. That was kind of, I mean, which, you know, in retrospect, no, obviously, having gone in gave them an excuse to just ram it through in the middle of the night, which is what happened, and then try to ram through a whole bunch of other things. But but you know, from right away, were viewing this with alarm. And what were you thinking when you heard about the people going into the Capitol building?
Well, first you mentioned people climbing up on the scaffolding, I remember, and then we were hearing these claims that people were actually breaching the Capitol and going in. I just was thinking of how, I guess I was somewhat just thinking of how things have been spun in the past. Well, I mean, you yourself had been at Charlottesville, and I have not. I'd love to talk to you about it in the future sometime, but that's a perfect example where we, hindsight is 2020, of course, but we saw so much afterward, the potential for things to be set up to, well, dishonor, disgrace, anything associated with the event or the people who attended. I guess I just was expecting more attempt at tarnishing Trump's image, and it just, I was just very suspicious in that sense. And as far as him representing white people, really, and I mean, he doesn't really speak out. You know, he talks about everyone else he helps out, every other community other than whites when he does. But at the same time, I mean, they want to tarnish the people and the set of values, I think, which is largely white America. And it seemed like they were running out of time. And I was just, I guess, suspicious that they wanted to further tarnish anything associated with the movement. But this actor, this QAnon shaman, as they call him, I mean, he was all over the place in the past at let's see, he's been at climate activism rallies and events. He's been in the summer at a BLM rally. It's clearly, again, someone who you would not, let's see, that was in Arizona, the BLM rally. It's clearly not a Trump supporter, once again. You know, I mean, you could tell this person's out of place, just like these others. Now, John Sullivan, that gentleman is with more and more interesting connections to the film industry. I mean, he's with this woman who may be Asian, who is seen, this Jade person. And I noticed in some of the articles I was sharing with you, they mentioned some connections to Hollywood filmmakers.
So this Jade person, isn't she like a photographer or video maker who has done work on NPR and CNN? I mean, she's got some connections there.
Yes, I have a tweet from Max Blumenthal saying, seated with Sullivan on CNN is Jade Sacker, S-A-C-K-E-R, a photojournalist who followed him into the Capitol to film his exploits as part of a documentary project. Here she's heard congratulating him, "We did it." And he says, "Is this not going to be the best film you've ever made in your life?" I was mentioning that clip earlier. It's very suspicious in the Capitol. Like, he hints to her that there was more he could have told her, but couldn't really in real time. This Max Blumenthal also tweeted, "I learned that Sackler's project has major backers. It's being advised by Brian Fogel, Academy Award winner, maker of Icarus and The Descent." Dissident. And Fogel, with the Dissident producer Thor Halvorsen, they show pictured at an award ceremony, a neocon operative whose Oslo Freedom Forum trains U.S.-backed opposition activists. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, you know, they're affiliated with people who have a history of some of this sort of, well, paid provocateur, controlled opposition sort of inner workings. It was curious. I found in the same article that John Sullivan and the supposed Republican brother, they're two black men who were adopted by a white man who's a retired Air Force general. So it's just interesting, you know, to be so pro-black and such an angry activist, you know, for black people.
After having grown up in a white family, wanting for nothing. Oh, who else do we know like that? I mean, we got Barack Obama. We've got Colin Kaepernick, who were raised by their white families without their black fathers present, and yet emerged with this massive chip on their shoulder. And then you wonder, you've got somebody like Amy Coney Island Baby, who's got the two adopted Haitian children, and is she raising them to be to relate to white people? No, she talks about having cried with them after George Floyd and warning them that if they go out on the streets, white cops are going to shoot them. So it's all so strange. Just briefly about Charlottesville. When I was in Charlottesville, at the time I was a contributor to the Daily Stormer, and I was just walking around with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. I was just walking around with them, but not knowing who they were. I just knew I was walking around with the people that didn't like whites very much. A lot of them were letting it known. And there was also what I would just call the local gentry, which were like, you know, just the black residents of from the projects just a few blocks away. And, you know, and you had people walking around just yelling obscenities about white people. And then, you know, somebody might drive by and yell obscenities at white people. And then the white women who were walking would say, "Yeah, woo," you know, in agreement. It was all very bizarre. But I didn't know where I was. I mean, I knew where I was in terms of the street map. But it wasn't until I left, until that evening, that I really knew about the Heather Heyer thing. And the weird thing is, I was there on the scene. And I saw a woman who was, like, being carried away by medics. I just thought she had a heat stroke. She was like an obese black woman. I just thought she had a heat stroke. Actually, I think she was hit by the car. I was right there without knowing that it had happened. And I had been only a few blocks away when the accident happened. And shortly after that, I was up in what used to be called Jefferson Park, which is three blocks to the north of where the accident happened. And it was where Dwayne Dixon was ensconced with his redneck revolt. And I didn't know who they were. I some reporter later told me that they were 3%ers, but it wasn't until literally months later that I'm looking at the pictures I took, and I see, you know, this guy with the horn-rimmed glasses, and he's kind of skinny but muscular, and has the AR-15, and he's in a khaki t-shirt, and he's got these very identifiable tattoos on his arm. It's, oh, well, that's Dwayne Dixon. That's who those people are. And that's the thing about being there sometimes, is you really don't know what's going on until later. But we're up on the break, and we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
We are back. And so, like I say, it's even, you know, whether you're there, whether you're not there, it's often hard to know what's going on in real time, especially an event like this, because the Capitol grounds are very, very large. There's a whole bunch of entrances to it, and there was a whole bunch of people there. And so to piece this together in a meaningful way is tough. But, you know, when I – Jason and I left the White House area when Trump was still speaking, and we were listening on C-SPAN radio. I brought an old-fashioned AM transistor radio with me, because I'm a boomer, and but everybody appreciated that, because you know you didn't need an internet connection in order to listen. So we're just listening on AM radio or FM. I guess it's on FM, and we're walking down Pennsylvania Avenue, and I guess we got to the Capitol before 1 o'clock. I think it was before 1 o'clock. It was before the joint session had come into session, and I'm pretty sure. And I think by then there was already people milling around on the Capitol lawn, which isn't unusual. I mean, I'd been down there in December for one of those rallies, and I was with the Groypers, and, you know, people were milling around on the Capitol lawn because you always can mill around on the Capitol lawn. It's not keep off the grass. But apparently this day they had intended for people to keep off the grass, and maybe it's the first breach of a security line, but there's a video, and have you seen it, of, like, there's a few people who are guarding, you know, like a barrier that looks like a bicycle rack, and a bunch of people in the MAGA gear come up and they start pushing at it. And There's some fists that are thrown and shoving, and then the MAGA people eventually just go on in. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes. I saw, I think, at least one other that was kind of more where people slid the gates apart from each other, kind of more without any scuffle or fighting. Mm-hmm. And then people just started flooding in. And was that
taken from the inside of the lawn looking
I couldn't really say as far as the layout of the whole, you know, the map of the whole place. I mean, I'm not that clear on that. I just know in the other video I saw the gates are just kind of slid to the side and people start flooding in. But then you see security or police that are at least 10, well, at least 15 feet inside the perimeter before they get slid open. And he just starts waving his arm, you know, like waving everyone in. Mm-hmm. In the one video. So that one is very suspect. The one you're talking about, I believe, is the one where, when there's a lot of actual fighting for a moment, about a minute or so.
It does, winds up hitting the ground. And I don't know, you know, there's supposedly a cop who died. What was his, he had a funny last name. And, you know, I don't know what to think of some of these reports. I guess somebody actually died.
The one that I think you're referring to, I believe, is where one of the people in front who starts the violent interaction leading to the barriers getting broken open was wearing a MAGA hat forward. And during the start of him shouting and starting to rattle the gates before any punches were thrown, he flips his hat backward, mm-hmm. the thing we heard so much about, as a signal, it almost seemed like, to even the security that, you know, okay, hey, I'm one of the groups of you know, false MAGAs, if you will, and you know, flipping the hat. I mean, you know, why at that moment? I mean, sure, okay, you could say, all right, maybe so the hat doesn't fall off. You want the brim backwards if you're going to get into a fight. But really, I mean, are you really thinking about that? Is that really the biggest thing on your mind, is that you don't lose your baseball cap?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw that, and it, like, in a way, it looked like an aggressive move. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to know what to make of it. By surface appearances, those were MAGA people on the surface. But, you know, you could have, you know, anybody can dress as a MAGA person. But it looked like MAGA people getting aggressive and then pushing their way onto the lawn. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you have to get onto the lawn before you're going to get into the building for the backside. Now, I don't know how many people actually, I know windows were broken on the mall side, which is most of the time that's where Jason and I did the show from. We had been on the other side, which is technically the front side, which doesn't have a front lawn. It's just got a cement plaza type thing in front of it. I'm not sure, you know, at this point, I'd like to see a map of where the breaches actually took place. Because I don't know, on my side, and it must've been before the show started, because I don't think it was during the show. There was at one point a chant of F U, et cetera, Antifa, F Antifa, F Antifa, F Antifa. And in subsequent videos, now I've seen why they were chanting F Antifa, was there was these two people who were busting windows. And this is the closest part of the Capitol to where Jason and I were standing, but we wouldn't have been able to see it from our angle. This video was shot from above, from the balcony above, looking down. And you can see these, one guy had a Tomfa club, which is like a martial arts club that police use. And the other guy had a flagpole, and they were busting in windows. And within 30 seconds, you've got MAGA people who come and stop them. And then you get this chorus come up. There was boos, and then it turned into that chant. And so at least there was one other place where the same type of thing happened, where MAGA people stopped people who were who they thought they were calling Antifa. The crowd was calling them Antifa, stop the Antifa. And so you at least had some of that. But
sweet Leilani, heavenly flower, nature, passion, roses.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You are my paradise completed.
Oh, lovely Leilandia.
You are my dream.
Welcome back. So, when I was walking around the Capitol grounds, I saw most of the people were wearing MAGA gear. I mean, most of the people were MAGA gear, 99%. But there were two identifiable groups that were different, or identify people. There were two groups that really seemed prepared for a tussle. There was one group that looked kind of like Antifa because they were dressed in dark and often had dark helmets, looked like more like rollerblading helmets than military helmets. But they were wearing these dark helmets and dark clothes. And, you know, they might have flagpoles or whatever. And then there was another type that was wearing camouflage, you know, tans and khakis and camouflage. And they had what looked more like military helmets. And you've seen plenty of pictures of them. And, you know, the khaki people, you'd see them in small groups. And the dark clothes people, you'd see them in small groups. But, of course, amongst the MAGA people were no doubt some who were just posing as MAGA, and they had their ulterior motives. And there's one very, you know, this John Sullivan person that you've mentioned, he would go in that category, wouldn't he?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, he's probably the biggest anomaly. I mean, the QAnon shaman is perhaps being presented to us as the most outrageous figure, but the one who has the most ignored questions, you know, about him and the very nature of him being there, I'd say, would be this John Sullivan. It's curious how
how he's dressed.
Oh, he seemed like he was just in black. Black, yeah, I mean
dark clothes, but he had a like a Trump hat, some sort of Trump hat. Didn't he claim to have just bought it that morning?
Okay, yeah, I didn't catch that, but it's interesting how he's interviewed that night on this interview, CNN interview with Anderson Cooper.
And can you play that for us?
Yeah. I mean, I also have a clip of him speaking this past summer. Mm. I censored it. Okay. For the listeners as well. But I mean, if you first want to just get an idea of, because this is someone who, once again, it doesn't make sense why he would be at this event. Just like the past of that QAnon shaman, just like the past of this Philly Antifa guy and his buddy, you know, why would this guy be here when he has this history with BLM, this history with being the founder of Insurgents USA, a far left anti-fascist group, basically. Mm. But yeah, I'll first play the censored clip, and this is him in Salt Lake City, Utah, August 29th, 2020. It's just a short clip where he's speaking to the audience.
What's going on, everybody? My name's John Sullivan. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. My group is Insurgents USA. We're about to burn this down. Anybody out here seeing that white militia guy shoot three kids?
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy. And I will tell you, this is in Utah, a whole bunch of white militia came out there, formed against our group. We out there strapped. We out there ready to burn that down. We out there to defend ourselves. We got to defend ourselves now, too. We do. Because power to the people. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Damn right. We got to rip Trump out of that office right over there. Pull him out that. Nah, we ain't about waiting until the next election. We about to go get that motherfucker. I ain't about that. Because you know what time it is? I want y'all to be after me. It's time for revolution. It's time for revolution. It's time for revolution. Thank you, guys. I appreciate y'all. Be safe. Be blessed.
So it's rather odd that this guy is right there filming Ashley Babbitt being shot. Isn't that odd? What a coincidence.
Yeah, certainly not the sort of person who would be there to support Trump. And yet, we're not supposed to wonder why he was there. And we're not supposed to wonder why he was treated like he was a reporter filming on location, basically, by Anderson Cooper that night. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, after the event on the 6th, now he was spotted by someone. He was outside a hotel. It looked like detained by police after being spotted on Parler. Mm-hmm. I guess they knew his whereabouts that night from something that was posted. And he was detained briefly. I have a little video clip of that, him sitting chatting with police and saying, oh, you know, I have all the footage from yesterday and, you know, I didn't do anything illegal. I was just there as a journalist, is what he was claiming to them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was just released after that. But then a week later, allegedly this past Thursday, he was actually arrested. And we'll see if anything comes of that. But, I mean, we have, some most wanted lists that we've even seen posted up on CNN. They mentioned QAnon shaman, this Proud Boys Hawaii founder Nick Ox, Tim Gione, aka Baked Alaska, some pro rights gun leader, Richard Bigo Barnet. So they had some people they wanted to throw in our face, you know, and clearly it wasn't him. But I don't know, who knows, maybe there was a backlash where they realized they had to actually arrest him on federal charges as well a week later. But it seemed like there was resistance at first for a whole week there, more than with the other people involved, where it seems like he had more connections due to that alone. Okay, so I mean, I have this brief clip of him inside the Capitol. This is just a 30-second clip.
Mm-hmm.
And he's speaking with this, I guess it's the same woman, this mm-hmm. is Jade Sacker. So we could just listen to what they interact with each other saying.
I'm giving you a hug now. We did it.
Dude, I was trying to tell you. I couldn't say much.
You were right.
You just had to wash my chat.
Oh my God.
Is this not going to be the best film you've ever made in your life?
That's it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
Wait, you weren't recording, were you?
I'll delete that. But I didn't record you or me. It was just voices.
Hey, well, I guess maybe I missed a little slip of the tongue near the end there on that one. We can fix that.
I mean, it
sounds like there was something he planned on deleting right there, first of all, that they didn't want shown.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it certainly is a joyous attitude they both have if they just saw a woman get shot and killed.
Now, is that after the shooting?
Yes, that's after they filmed that part, yeah, of the break-in, the breach where she was shot. That was after that. And so, you know, she's like raving that he's a genius, you know, and that they did it. They got this.
Are we absolutely sure that was afterwards?
I could double check if there's any more information that indicates that. I mean, you know, perhaps it is. It could be, in theory, before it. And she's talking about just getting into the Capitol and filming, getting as far as they did, and that didn't happen yet. So I suppose we couldn't rule that out. But
yeah, even, regardless, for those people who have seen the clip of, or there's actually, I think, from four different angles of this woman getting shot. One thing that's remarkable is John Sullivan immediately says, "She's dead. She's dead. They killed her. They shot her. She's dead. She's dead." Without knowing she was dead. He immediately started doing that. It was very strange. And the people around her, I guess there's a kid in the powder blue hoodie who seems to be acting like a human, you know, trying to help her and looked alarmed and shocked and everything. But pretty much everybody else was acting in very strange ways. The guy with the helmet who had been seconds earlier beating on the windows, smashing the windows with the helmet, you can just see him in one of the angles just walking halfway down the steps. And then, like, you know, there's police right there. And he just takes out different clothes from a backpack and starts changing his clothes. So there's very strange stuff that was going on, and I don't know what to make of it all yet. We're trying to put it together and trying to get a timeline. Do you have the clip of him talking to Anderson Cooper?
Yes, yes. But when you mention again the moment where Ashley Babbitt was shot, I did see footage that was shot of the 2 minutes or so leading up to her being shot. Shows across the screen superimposed who takes the credit. I don't know. I guess this would be the John Sullivan, Jaden X.
Jaden X is a name he uses for uploading things or whatever. Yeah, that's a name associated with him.
Okay, because I mean there were already people pounding on the. I mean, it seemed like relatively shatterproof glass. I'm guessing the part where Ashley tried to crawl in through, they actually knocked the entire shatterproof glass pane outside of its wood frame. And I think that's only the only way.
Well, I was just going to say that it's a very old building, but of course, you know, most parts of it were built over 200 years ago. I guess some of it burned down by the British. I'm not sure. And then I guess the Rotunda area was finished, was it after the Civil War or before the Civil War? I'm not sure, but it's a very old building. And, but, you know, in the mid-1800s, even in the early 1800s, they were capable of building really impressive buildings. I mean, with marble everywhere. So I'm not exactly sure if everything is actually shatterproof glass or what, because – you know, the building's very, very old, and so a lot of the material used in the building are old, and they're not, you know, high tech. To what extent things like the glass in those doors might have been more modern, I wouldn't know. But I've been all around that in the Capitol, And, you know, it's just marble. It's an old building, but it's a wonderful building. I really like, I've never been inside the White House. You know, you can take tours of the White House. I went inside the Supreme Court just once, but the Capitol I've been in countless times, just because it's just really impressive. It's just a beautiful building.
Well, the 2 minutes leading up to her being shot, I mean, it's a bad angle. You're on the opposite side of the hall from where she winds up being, but the pane of glass is already like cracked a little bit on this side. So that makes it harder to see through. It's, you know, kind of foggy. Therefore, when you see the whole hand come out with the gun later, but that is done in a very surreal kind of way. Regardless, the 2 minutes prior, okay, there's a set of three police officers standing in front of these doors, even though one had already had the glass with at least a little bit of a crack in it, and you know, there was pounding against it from the crowd. But the three police officers were standing firmly in front of these doors, and no one was daring hit them or anything. You know, I mean, they still maintained their authority. And then there was just back and forth shouting from the crowd to them, like, "Oh, you know, we don't want to hurt you," I heard someone say, and just trying to say, "Oh, you know." It seemed like more implying of, oh, like, we have a right to this. Like the other footage we saw, I don't think it's right, but okay, or something. With the footage of them being let in to various levels. But I mean, so it seemed like more of that sort of thing. But I mean, these three officers just kind of decided to, okay, all right, we're going to get out of the way kind of thing. And then they just scuttle over to the side. And then there's pounding against the doors for about a minute after they walk away. And that's when Ashley Babbitt gets shot. By this hand and arm that you see come out from the side and just kind of like repositioning, pointing a little bit to the right of her. Mm-hmm. It looks like at the crowd for about 20 seconds and then finally moving over to the left and shooting her as if it were in a sudden change of focus. But you don't see that on Anderson Cooper. You don't see the police being there and getting out of the way, and you just see, like, starting a couple seconds before the gun is pointing at her and then she gets shot. And I think that's intentional, because it wouldn't make sense for them to suddenly decide, okay, this isn't an important perimeter to protect, we're going to get out of the way, you know, but then suddenly, if you try to get through the door, we're going to shoot you from the other side of it. So.
Yeah, there's just so much that is bizarre there. How long is the Anderson Cooper clip?
Oh, it's like 5 minutes. Is that is that too long?
Well, we could start it now. We've only got another minute on this side of the break, but let's start it now. Just play it.
All right, yeah.
Well, today, a warning first. It's not easy to watch. We're not taking the decision to air it lightly. That said, in light of all that surrounds it and all that's transpired today, we think it is important because this actually happened. In that context, if you'd rather not watch, now would be the time to look away. It's about 11 seconds. There's no sound, obviously, on this recording. It's hard to see, but you may have seen a gun being pointed, and there was a female in the building, seemed to be in a doorway going up, kind of into the opening of the doorway. A shot rang out, and she then was fell on the ground, as you saw. Two people who were there join us now, documentary filmmaker Jade Sacker and left-wing activist John Sullivan. John, you filmed this moment on your phone. Just can you describe what happened?
Yeah, so basically all the protesters kind of stormed to get into the chamber. We tried to get into, the main entrance right when you walk down the hallway. But that being said, nobody was able to get in because there's two guards refusing to move. People there were not really wanting to hurt the police, so, like, they went down a different alleyway. They went to, like, the left of the main entrance of the chambers and then took a right down the hallway that entered into that glass window so that you see. There were about, like, four or five police officers right at the forefront, and I remember just coming up and seeing one of them, like, crying, saying they want to go home to their kids, and, like,
one of the police officers
were just, like, one of the police officers. It was kind of like a scene out of, you know, even all you see is, like, thousands of these protesters, like, kind of merge on them, yelling, saying, let us in here, we're not trying to hurt you. I ended up, like, talking to a few of them. I said, hey, we can, like, just make a path for you to get through. By no means am I there on the Trump side or the MAGA side, but I don't want to, like, see people get hurt unnecessarily, especially when, like, there should be a better way to go about it. So I told everybody to just let them through. They're willing to go peacefully and just put down their arms and
through. So how was this lady shot? I mean, she was in trying to get through the door, and was it? Did you see who shot her?
Yeah. So I was getting to that part. So immediately after they started breaking through the glass, once they broke through the glass, they were using like flagpoles and whatever they had to kind of bash through the windows. On the right hand side, this lady was able to like make her way all the way through the window. All we see is these guns come out the doorways, just guns, and all you can see is their hand. That's it. You can see faces. And right when I saw that, I was yelling to people. I was like, "Guys, there's guns. You don't want to go through there." Like they were, you know, like they were going to shoot, like not just like hold it there and run away. They were literally going to shoot to kill. The second that she climbed through the window, she got shot like right in the neck area, fell backwards.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Security guard. I couldn't see what they were wearing. I only can assume it would have been peace based on everything that we met up until that point.
So they were in an area that protesters were trying to get, or rioters were trying to get into? Is that what you're basing it on? I mean, was it an area that, you know, some of these rioters had already, were already inside of? Or was it an area they were trying to get into that the shot came from?
So it was an area that was, the area that was completely blocked off. It had chairs up against the doorway, like tables, so people couldn't get in. So no one has been in there.
Okay. Obviously, it's very chaotic. I appreciate talking to you. We're obviously trying to, I know there's some other angles on this. We're trying to learn more information about exactly what happened. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. I want to continue the discussion about what occurred today. We're obviously getting more and more images in throughout. We've been getting them over the last couple of hours. Let's check it. Let's look back into the proceeding.
So it's all very odd. You have that guy who last August is making the inflammatory speech, profanity-laced in speech about not waiting for an election to get rid of Trump and burn everything down. And now he's being treated by Anderson Cooper as just a journalist. And yet you also see him kind of posing as a MAGA person and being inflammatory. What do you make of it?
Well, and I would preface that by saying that we have FBI saying that from what they see, they haven't identified any paid provocateurs, Antifa, and anything of that.
They said that immediately, right?
And this past week, they're still further assuring the public of that. So, I mean, yeah, this is... I think it's a case of, well, nuances are not picked up by the public at large. Mm-hmm. And even if someone picks up one or two, they're not going to pick up the majority of them, even for the handful of people who pick up on a large amount of them are mostly people like you and me in the independent media, of the very few, you know. And so I think they can just... Yeah, well, just like Charlottesville, you know, the facts that are not pointed out about what is or is not incitement. Mm-hmm. Even Trump, I mean, you know, if you don't get to hear his speech anymore, and if Twitter takes down the things they say were inciting violence, well, I guess you just have to believe Twitter. You know, you don't have the information there to judge it, but
Yeah, but we are out of time. But thank you so much, Richard. This is Richard Carey from the show immediately before mine, which is Beyond the Official Narrative. And so everybody, please check that out. So thank you very much, Richard. And we'll have to collaborate more in the future.
I look forward to that. Yes, it was great being on with you. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Sun.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another. Oh, my God. It'll be the inauguration. Will that be exciting or what?
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.